This is in conjunction with the Power to Change series on Right Now Media, a free resource available to any of you. If you're really, really gung-ho, you can watch this prior to coming on Sunday, because I'm not going to give like a full-blown sermon. I'm going to give highlights based upon that video lesson and that teaching, and then small groups will discuss and hash out what this really means application-wise in our lives. So I cannot commend to you more highly how important this fall is as we have launched these small groups. And so Power to Change, spending time, Psalm 46 is what we're going to look at, and I'm just going to share a few brief thoughts as we prepare to approach the Lord's table in the sacrament of communion. Session 2, and the teaching in particular, was done by Onika McClellan, and it was really powerful. She begins looking at Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord. How he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. And in one voice, can we read verses 10 and 11 together? Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Amen. In light of all that's happened in our nation, especially down in Florida with the hurricane, if you wouldn't mind, if we could have a moment of silence, praying for many who have lost loved ones, pray for the recovery efforts. There's also been a great tragedy in Indonesia at a soccer stadium where many were trampled to death, over 130 lives lost and probably more. There's so much going on, and as I was reading this, as God speaks to us, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. We will not fear though the earth gives way. How appropriate, I think, to just sit in this before I point out a few things I want to share with all of us this morning. If we can close our eyes and just for a few moments lift up Florida. We have loved ones, many of you, family, friends, devastating hurricane, and the event in Indonesia with so many lives lost. If we can take a moment as the church to be a praying church and to lift that up just for a moment. Though the waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at the swelling, God reminds us, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. Lord, we bow our heads and hearts and we think about the tragedy that's unfolding before us down in Florida in light of that devastating hurricane, Lord. We pray for any friends and family in our congregation, and of course all victims that are struggling so much. We pray, Heavenly Father, for your mercy and your grace to be poured upon those that have lost loved ones. We pray for strength emotionally and physically for the recovery efforts. We're so far away physically, it's hard to imagine, Lord, the devastation that this part of our nation has just gone through this past week. And our hearts also go out to the many victims in this tragic stampede, many, many who have lost their lives in Indonesia. We pray, Father, that you might be with those who have lost loved ones as well. We pray, Father, for that part of the world, that even through this event, somehow that people may come to hear and know the good news of Jesus, the one who is the hope of the nations. In the midst of it, Lord, we're going through a lot in our lives, and how these words speak so clearly to us. As you speak to the nations and speak to the upheaval globally, even as we've outlined in our brief prayer this morning, we do take time to be still and to know that you are God. And so thank you for that truth. Speak to us today in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you for taking time to pray for Florida and Indonesia. First of all, we begin in this teaching on spending time. Basically, in the busyness of our lives, the challenge is in this theme of how do we really change? Where do we find that power to grow in our lives, in our faith, yes, as human beings, yes, as men, as women, as family people, as friends? And we talked about last week, and for those that had an opportunity to be part of your small group, we often get stuck in our lives and our relationships, do we not? We want to move forward. We can rearrange the chairs on the deck of the ship of our lives, but we heard that apart from the power of God's Holy Spirit, we cannot truly change. And that is both good news and bad news. And so today's lesson, as Onika was really taking us through this, one of the key ways is we spend time with God. We spend time with God. And as I reflected on that, these are a few things I wanted to share of why that is so important. And I will leave it up to you and your small groups to discuss a little bit more on ways in which that could really happen. But I begin, first of all, in the reaction of that we probably have, you don't know how crazy busy my life is. We take a moment to really frankly say, we always make time for things that are important to us, do we not? No matter how busy you think you are, how can I spend time with God? I got to raise kids. I got to get to work. I got to do this. I got to do that. Granted, our lives are so busy, some of us feel like we can't even breathe. There's so much going on. We have run ourselves ragged. But if we were to really ask and look at your life, where do you spend your time? You always will prioritize and make time for what you love, no matter how busy your life becomes. We make time for what is important to us. Harry Chapin's song in 1974, that folk rock song that, as I re-listened to it this week, burns, does it not, in so many ways. My child arrived just the other day. He came to the world in the usual way, but there were planes to catch and bills to pay. He learned to walk while I was away. And he was talking, for I knew it as he grew. He'd say, I'm going to be like you, Dad. You know, I'm going to be like you. And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue and the man in the moon. When you coming home, Dad? I don't know when, but we'll get together then. And then fast forward to adulthood. I've long since retired. My son's moved away. I called him up just the other day. He said, I'd like to see you if you don't mind. He said, I'd love to, Dad, if I can find the time. You see, my new job's a hassle and the kids have the flu. But it's sure nice talking to you, Dad. It's been sure nice talking to you. And as I hung up the phone, it occurred to me he'd grown up just like me. My boy was just like me. You all know this song. You know it strikes such a chord in our hearts as in the busyness of life that's captured in this song that Harry wrote. And it really, really challenges us as we think about, how can I make time to spend with God? It's just, things are so crazy. You're lucky I'm even here listening to your message, Pastor. But we take a step back, and I challenge you, because we always make time for what is important to us. And if change and growth and transformation and experiencing God in his fullness and beauty and power is important to you, and being that blessing to those around you that you love and care for, you will make time. Because you always make time for what's important to you, no matter how busy you become in your life. And so I want to just begin there as we reflect in this challenge of, how do I spend this time with God? How do I really change? Spend time with God, but you don't know how busy I am. You always make time for what is important to you. Is it important to you to grow and to change into the image of Jesus Christ and to be that blessing to others? If it is, you will make time for God. And so I begin there this morning. Secondly, as we move along here quickly, faith, transformation, growth grows out of genuine relationship. We often forget that in the midst of, I got to check off this list, I got to get this done, I'm supposed to do this. Could you imagine, as even this past week, some of my closest friends and I shared of how poor at being husbands we have been in our lives, in the busyness of life, work, and ministry. We want to rescue and save the world, and we all confessed how much we have struggled being the husbands that God wants us to be. And so we're very moved, and imagine, I go to Kathy, honey, let's go out for dinner. Let's go to Jay Gilbert's. Oh, yeah. Jay Gilbert's, all right. And we have the most amazing steak dinner. She doesn't like meat that much, so she'll probably order the seafood, and I'll order a filet and eat till I'm content. Go out for a nice stroll. Enjoy the evening. Have 24 long stem roses waiting for her at the table. And once the evening's done, Kathy's moved. Honey, this is so beautiful. Thank you so much. And could you imagine, there I am bending over, scribbling something on a sheet of paper. Honey, what are you doing? I just thank you for the most romantic time we've had in years since we moved here to Connecticut. Thank you so much. Honey, please don't bother me. I'm checking off the list of what I need to do to be a good husband. Could you imagine how that would truly sap out the romance and the love and the warm feelings if I had to go to my notebook and say, check, I did it. I romanced my wife, took her out for a nice dinner, gave her some roses. I did it because that's my duty. That's what I'm supposed to do. Slap, slap, punch. I'm out. You got to get someone else to preach Sunday morning. That's ridiculous, right? But how often, when it comes to our relationship with God and spending time, it's like twisting our arm. Oh my gosh, this is what I'm supposed to do. Check, check, check. And we forget that the heart of faith always flows out of a loving, dynamic, real relationship with the living God of the universe. If we could really understand that, that would be transformative, would it not? Rather than check, check, check. Time for breakfast. Get to work. Jesus expressed his heart for relationship with us in John 15:15-16. This was revolutionary. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I've called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he he may give it to you. Relationship. To be spending time with one who knows you better than anyone else on the face of this earth, better than we know ourselves, knows everything from head to toe. And despite that, loves us like no other. We're all looking for love. And the gospel reminds us that God proved his love by giving us his own son. Jesus declared, "I call you friends." Relationship is the heart of this Christian faith. And rather than, "Oh my gosh, I have to do this, check, check, check," we begin to realize that it is the most thrilling kind of experience we could have, to have a personal relationship with the God of this universe who created you, loves you, knows you like no other. Who of us would not want to spend time with someone that loves us in that way? And we forget it's about relationship. Dallas Willard says this: when we call men and women to live a life in Christ Jesus, we are offering them the greatest opportunity of their lives, the opportunity of a vivid companionship with God, in which they learn to be like him and live as he lived. This is that transforming friendship. We meet and dwell with Jesus and his Father in the disciplines of the spiritual life. And I tell you, as time goes on, as busyness grips our lives and that urgency for everything going on in our lives, that sense of relationship and friendship is tossed out the window and it becomes check, 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 rather than, "Here's someone that knows me and loves me like no other. I'll break down every door to find that kind of love and relationship with a God that knows me and loves me," as we see in the scriptures in the person of Jesus Christ. Have we forgotten that? Relationship is key. Thirdly, as we think about spending time with God, a very simple reminder, and it's related to the second point, that spiritual disciplines are always a means to an end, not an end in and of itself. And it's so easy to forget that as we go on with our lives. We just want to check off the boxes. But spiritual disciplines of reading God's word and prayer, yes, critically important, but they are a way, a means by which we grow and we meet God. Sometimes having a quiet time, for those of us that don't know what that is, it's basically a time alone with God, often in prayer and quiet meditation and listening to his word. Having your quiet time is not the most important thing, but having times of quietness is essential in growing and changing in your life. Did you guys get that subtle difference? Quiet time. I gotta have my quiet time. Gotta have my quiet time. That isn't the most important thing, but having times of quiet where you hear and listen and build your relationship with God. Our relationship with him is never, and this flows from some of the discussion on Friday at our small group, it is never purely formulaic. Follow this pattern exactly and boom, cloud nine. Yes, I'm walking with the angels. Oh, this is good stuff. It's not formulaic. Sometimes you need a little formula to help you along. It's not formulaic, but sometimes we need a formula to help us along. You see, so often we think of quiet times and reading God's word and prayer to check off the boxes as, "I need to do this so I can get and have more of God in my life." We've got it backwards, folks. The spiritual disciplines are not for us to get a little bit more of God in my life, but But in that quietness, to be still and know that he is God, God uses spiritual disciplines to get more of us. It's not us trying to get a little bit more of God and squeeze him in so he can bless my life and I could get some guidance and wisdom. Then yes, he does those things. But in that quietness, God gets more of us in his lordship, in his love, and his power. Richard Foster said this that I've never forgotten when I came across this 20 plus years ago, reading it 30 years ago. The disciplines are God's way of getting us into the ground. They put us where he can work within us and transform us. By themselves, the spiritual disciplines can do nothing. They can only get us to the place where something can be done. They are God's means of grace. Spiritual growth is the purpose of the disciplines. And once again, means of grace, we are not confusing with the holy sacraments, but a way by which God uses to reveal himself to us. And so as we think about how do we spend time and how do we really change in our lives, yes, it is spending time, and what happens as we spend time? Well, we got to be disciplined. Yes, we do. But remember, spiritual disciplines, it's not necessarily to get a little bit more of God, but it's God's way of getting hold of our hearts and saying, I am Lord of your life, and I love you terribly. It's a surrendering. It's a realization that he's just not my little pocket savior, but he is the Lord of all. And it's surrendering our daily lives, the people that we will meet, the circumstance that will happen to us, the tensions, the struggles, the wounds of our lives. He understands. Thank you, Lord. That is what spiritual disciplines begins to do in our lives. And fourthly and finally this morning, very simply, we become like who we spend time with. We really do. If you were sitting next to, if you're married and your spouse is here and you're sitting next to them, or even if they're not here, you can imagine. They always say that the longer a couple is married, they really begin to look like each other. Is that true? Take a look. I think it's kind of true. For better or for worse, right? We begin to look like each other. We become like those we spend time with. Friendships are critical because friends impact you. Those you spend time with, you become like. Friends form your community, and then your community in turn forms you. Spouses will look alike. Physically, yes, maybe. But in their lifestyle, in their habits, in their passions, in their disciplines, we become like who we spend time with. And spending time with God, as we look in his word, yes, as we spend time in quietness and prayer and meditation, we actually, through God's Spirit and his word, are transported to the feet of Jesus Christ himself. The more you spend time with him, the more you become like him. Sometimes we wonder, why am I not changing? We become like those we spend time with. And as we do that, we realize that it's not so much about our pursuit of God, but rather it is his pursuit of us. And some of the most humbling and beautiful experiences of faith in my life was not when I was ticking off the boxes, checking them off one by one. I was spending an hour, 2 hours a day with God in prayer, taking up to a week to fast, to draw close to God, reading the Bible in a period of a week, cover to cover. I've done some crazy things in my life to draw closer to God. And often, in doing those things, taking pride in myself and then being very frustrated and lashing out in my flesh and anger often because I felt that I deserved more and better things in my life because I was so good and I was obedient. But it is often the times where we are most lost, living apart from Him, sometimes even living in darkness, not pursuing Him whatsoever, that He shows up in our lives and pours out His love and mercy and grace, undeserving. And He says, I love you no matter what. When that happens to you, you realize it wasn't about my pursuit, but it's always about God's pursuit of you and I, forgiving us, loving us, being patient with us, leading us. It is those times where you realize it wasn't about my pursuit at all. He's been pursuing me all the days of my life, even when I was not running after Him. When you experience that, your heart melts, and you can't help but to want to get to know this God even more. Richard Foster, in quoting Leo Tolstoy, says, our world is hungry for genuinely changed people. Tolstoy says, everyone thinks of changing humanity, but nobody thinks of changing himself. Jesus says, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Good feelings will not free us, Foster says. Ecstatic, powerful experiences will not free us. Getting high on Jesus will not free us. Without a knowledge of the truth, we will not be free. So four questions and we'll end that I want to encourage small groups to think about and think about even on your way home. In what areas of your life right now do you need God to be your refuge? Even though we're not in Florida right now or in Indonesia, there's craziness going on in so many of our lives. Will you be open to knowing in the presence of God through Jesus to be still and know that He is God? Secondly, what has prevented you? What prevents you from prioritizing time with God? Because that is how we are changed. And it doesn't always mean just me alone with God, but whenever there are opportunities like this, or my week with my friends every morning, opening up in a time of prayer and looking in God's Word, I'll take it. You don't have to just do it alone, whether it's a small group, a Bible study, coming to Alpha, coming to worship like this. However it looks, whatever shape or form it takes, corporately, privately, get with God. He will speak to you. He is real. He wants a relationship with you. He will continually pursue you, even at times when we aren't pursuing Him. That is the kind of Savior that we have. Thirdly, why is relationship so central in growing in our faith? Why is it that we have to keep that in mind, our relationship with God and with others? Why is that so essential? Rather than, I'm going to change and grow in my life by myself, just me and God. It's not going to work. It is not going to work. And related to that, and finally, this morning, why is Christian community critical to our personal growth? Why is it absolutely critical? Be still. And know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. God is inviting you to spend time with Him, whether it be corporately or individually. Even now as we prepare to approach the Lord's table, you can meet with God privately in the midst of a corporate setting. And if you aren't sure where you are with God in your life, myself, Our prayer team members would love to encourage you, listen to you, to pray with you during communion and, of course, following service.